Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Lee Cantor here with High Velocity Radio. My very favorite episodes within that channel is the Thought Leader Radio episodes, where we interview the best and the brightest doing the most interesting things all around America. And today we have Don Crawford with BCDC Ideas. Welcome, Don.
Hey, nice to be here.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about BCDC Ideas? How are you serving folks?
Yeah, so we are a full-service agency that works exclusively with nonprofits, actually. So we're a communications agency that helps nonprofits tell their story better, and we work with folks here in North Carolina, but also across the country.
And BCDC, is that your initials? Does it mean something more than that?
It is. It's our initials. So it's Brian Crawford, who is my husband and business partner, and Don Crawford. And these are our ideas.
And these are your ideas. And how'd you get involved with nonprofits? Why'd you decide to kind of target that niche?
Yeah. My career has always been in nonprofit communication. So getting out of college, you know, with a little bit of debt, but looking to change the world. And so did that for about 10 years and then really saw that there was a need for nonprofits to have a communications agency that understood the challenges and opportunities of nonprofit communication and nonprofit work. So, it's been a great 8 years and it's worked out really well that we're able to really focus our skills and our passion in that area.
Now, do you specialize within nonprofits? That's pretty broad. Do you specialize in certain niches within the niches? Is it like environmental? Is it healthcare? Like which area do you work
yeah.
in?
Yeah, we definitely we are fortunate enough to be kind of the jack of all communications trades and the master of nonprofits. We actually have been able to work with every mission type other than faith-based. So we work a lot in public health. We work a lot in conservation and environmental issues. We work in animal welfare and education and the arts. So it's been an incredible opportunity to touch a lot of different missions and improve their stories.
Now, recently you, or I don't know how recently, but you did an event called Fail Fest.
Correct. Yes.
And that was fascinating to me because I'm a big fan of failing fast. And I think that if you're not failing or trying things, then you're not taking enough risks just by design. But people have a lot of fear of failing, so they hesitate a little too much, in my opinion. Can you talk about the genesis of that and what you were trying to accomplish?
Yeah. So Fail Fest is an annual event where nonprofit leaders share their stories of failure on the stage in a very, you know, exposing, intimate fashion to an audience of around 100 to 150 people. So we started it 3 years ago, and it was an opportunity for nonprofits to learn and share failure. So nonprofits have an extra edge of not being able to fail well. Nonprofits are funded by people's dollars and tax dollars, literally, right? So it's not a single investor's money that, you know, they kind of knew that it might, you know, fail or fly. That with nonprofits, you are literally, you know, your only product is people's money, care, and passion. So it's very, very hard for nonprofits to fail. It's seen as something that is, you know, very detrimental to individuals' lives and to the sector and to the community. So we wanted to give people an opportunity to be able to tell these stories in a safe way so that other nonprofits could learn and could, you know, not repeat these massive mistakes. So it's been a really great opportunity to showcase those stories.
Now, what are some of the lessons learned from that?
I think it's about being prepared for failure. You know, I think as much as people can, you know, foresee that it's going to happen, but then once it's in your face is to react. I think some of the stories that are the biggest, you know, the longest lasting failures or the most painful failures are organizations that either ignored it or, you know, didn't address that fail fast enough. And it ultimately destroys the organization so that they can't help the people that they're meant to help. So I think that's something that, yeah, is the biggest lesson. And to be transparent and to be honest, I think there's, you know, people are addressing failure and mistakes differently now than they ever have before. So with so much transparency about Me Too and even, you know, with politicians saying and doing horrible things or good things, you know, that the idea of being and owning up to your mistakes has changed a lot, even in the last 10 years. So if nonprofits can also fall into that transparency, it's a good thing.
Now, when you're working with your clients, is the challenge always fundraising or is it go beyond that?
It's definitely beyond that. So we're a communications agency, so we actually don't help people and organizations directly fundraise. We say that communications and marketing contributes to fundraising, but there's hardly ever a hard line that I can say that, you know, my Facebook post raised enough money to keep the doors open. So with nonprofit communications, it is about storytelling. It's about bolstering people's love and passion for the mission and for the organization that they're donating to, and to raise awareness about the issue itself. So, you know, if it's homelessness, if it's, you know, euthanizing cats, if it's conserving bird life, you know, it's about bolstering and improving that passion and knowledge and value of that work is what we do most.
And then when you're doing that and you're trying to translate their cause into stories, how do you go about doing that?
Since we're firmly rooted in kind of the science communication side of things, it's a lot about making the amazing things that nonprofits do more tangible and more relatable and more inspiring. So it's through great personal stories, but also just it's good storytelling and good visuals. So we do a lot of graphic design and video and figuring out what's the best channel and mode to tell that story.
And has that changed over the years with the advent of all the different social media channels? Is that an opportunity or is that kind of a challenge now because there are so many channels to choose from?
Yeah. It's a catch 22, right? That like 10 years ago, you know, when I 15 years ago, when I started working in the nonprofit field, it was direct mail, your print newsletter that went out. It was your website. And if you were really lucky, you got a video. And now, you know, it's video storytelling is hugely important and it's so easy for literally anybody to do. You know, you just shoot with your smartphone and you're able to tell a really impactful, intimate story about your nonprofit quickly and very cost effectively. So, yeah, I mean, I think we have more tools than we've ever had before. And I think that's exciting, but it's also overwhelming because you try to figure out what's the best way to tell this story and on which channel. So that's where agencies like myself really do come in, is helping nonprofits decide which strategy is the best strategy to tell their story, you know, using their own resources and what they have internally, or if we can help them bring professional services.
So you work in both manners where sometimes they're asking you for help and you're giving them guidance, and then other times they're asking you to be the helper where you're actually doing the work?
Correct. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And it always works best when we get to do both. It's weird for us to just create strategy and walk away. So we really enjoy implementing and really getting in and getting dirty. We do it all from tip to tail.
Now, in the profile of the nonprofits you work with, is there a certain size? Or are they of a certain maturity? How do you choose which clients to work with?
Yeah, I mean, I think for an organization to get to the point where they want more sophisticated communications channels, it definitely means that they're over a certain budget size. Our services definitely fit best in the, you know, million plus budget category, which is pretty sustainable size of nonprofits. But for some projects, like just doing a video, we've done really small, like volunteer-run organizations where we're able to raise the money that they needed for the video. So we're pretty open to that. You know, it's really just about how ready they are to be sophisticated and push their communications further.
Now, has any of the clients you work with, can you share a story of maybe an unintended consequence or something that surprised you based on your efforts?
Yeah. I think something that continues to surprise me is that how much consistent communication really does help and impact your fundraising efforts, and how much it does help improve your donations. So we have the fortune to be able to work with some nonprofits as their completely embedded communications team, right? We are their full service agency. So we are writing their emails, we are writing their strategy, we are, you know, managing their website. And because of those improvements and because of us having those consistent communications and not making direct asks, that we do, we're able to increase their fundraising total for the year by around 5 to 10%. So I think it's fascinating that by telling great stories and telling good content and really being thoughtful about your consistency of communications, how much it does impact how much people give, because they understand why your mission is important and why the nonprofit's work is valuable and worth something giving to. So I think that always surprises me, that it feels so simple, right? That you're sending out the newsletter at the same time every month and that you're consistent on that, but just how much that really does help with the overall goal of raising money for a cause.
Right. A lot of times people think like they need this huge idea that's the hook that hangs everything, where a lot of it is just showing up and grinding and just being consistent in your messaging that, hey, we exist and we still have needs and you can help. You know, you don't have to
exactly
have something earth shattering in order to motivate someone to take action.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the next viral video, right?
Which, right.
That does help, you know, but it doesn't have to be that.
Right.
Like, it is really just about this consistent. Yeah. Just showing up and doing the good work.
Now, do they come to you and say, hey, do we want the make me an ice bucket challenge? Can you do that for me?
Absolutely. We do. Certain people do come to us for that. And usually we talk them into a more sustainable plan. Because, I mean, I think the ice bucket challenge and the things that are those big wow moments are sometimes completely organic and come from the community, and things that you have to, you know, hook your wagon to, but you didn't make it, right? So I think, I mean, yeah, even the current fundraiser on Facebook that's taking off, that's supporting the organization for the separating the families and protecting the immigrant population. It was community created.
Right.
And you just have to be ready. You know, you have to be prepared and know what happens when you get that lightning strike. And I think good communications can do that too, because you're prepared. You have great stuff. You know what you're doing. You're not going to panic and scramble or, like, even worse, ignore it that it's happening. So,
right. You got to kind of lean into it. And that's what people don't realize. I think a lot of times they think, wow, those people were brilliant to come up with the ice bucket challenge. And it was community driven. They just jumped.
Yes.
They just grabbed onto it. They didn't invent it. It was just individuals who invented it.
Exactly. Yeah. And the power of the internet.
Right. That's,
right?
That's
but, yeah.
You know, that could never have happened, you know, 30 years ago. Wouldn't have.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so just be listening to your community is probably a good practice too, because they could have some good ideas. If you're paying attention.
Yeah. And it's overwhelming for nonprofits who have, you know, short, tiny staffs, you know, short staff lists and tiny staffs. And that idea of receiving information is hard. You know, it's hard to have somebody dedicated to listening when you need to produce so much too. So that's another huge challenge.
So how about some free advice for some of the nonprofits out there? What can they be doing just internally, maybe with a volunteer staff, to kind of get the most out of their volunteers?
Yeah, I would say It is about consistency. And so I really do believe in, you know, if you're doing a monthly newsletter, that it comes out on the same day every month. And that if you're engaging on Facebook, that you're creating at least one piece of content a day. That it's about, you know, not just waiting for your big event to come alive and to, you know, to pump all your resources and power into that one thing, but that it's about that annual consistency, and just being there and telling your stories. And I think there's so many stories to be told, about your organization. So just not being afraid to tell the good and the bad, you know, people want to know that you're real.
And it doesn't have to be this super polished, perfect video production or any type of storytelling production. It can be raw, and it can be, we're going to profile our volunteers. This is what a volunteer looks like. They're doing a great job. Here's their story, or here's this person we impacted story, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And I think, you know, the smaller the organization, the rougher you should look, because it increases people's understanding of need. You know, if you come across too polished, it's like, oh, they've got it all figured out.
Right. They don't need me. Right.
Exactly.
So yeah. Now, and when you're working with clients like that, are they open to being a little raw and vulnerable, or do they expect some, because to me, raw and vulnerable equates to authentic. I don't want to see super slick and polished when it comes to this type of information.
Surprisingly, I think because nonprofits have boards of business professionals, they're often pushed into the direction of being too polished. I think that they often want to look as business savvy as possible. And I think, you know, for some nonprofits, it makes a lot of sense. And for other ones, it's a harder sell. You know, I think that they could certainly gain some more heart in their communications if they are a little bit rougher around the edges. So yeah, it's hard. I mean, I think, yeah, because we're a creative agency, we come up with crazy ideas. You know, we're still advertising kids at heart. And, you know, and those are ideas never make it through, you know, whereas they could make it through the bigger brand, you know, for a for-profit brand, because it is at risk, right? For nonprofits, it's a risk for them to look too unpolished or too crazy or too fun, you know? Right. So it's an interesting line to walk for them, for sure.
Now for your agency, do you see any trends up ahead that we should be paying attention to, or is there anything about the communication business that you're seeing that you want to share?
Yeah, I think for a long time, a lot of nonprofits have really been focused, and they've been focused on federal funding. So this is the time for individuals to step up and donate to the organizations and the causes they love most, because most causes are losing their federal funding at a dramatically devastating rate. So, and it's hitting across the board for public health, conservation, science, anything that is, even like cancer organizations, they're all losing federal funding. So I think that's something to just keep in mind as individuals, is that nonprofits need you now more than ever. And, to look at if you can invest in the causes that you love most. Because it's going to be a big deal. And it's not going to be covered by anybody, because it's a nonprofit sector, and, you know, nobody's going to know that everybody's shrinking by 20% next year. Wow. So I think that's a huge trend. That'll be really interesting.
Now in your work, in your profile, you mentioned that you're a passionate community builder. Can you talk about why building community is important, and maybe let us know in the ways in which you're doing so?
Yeah. I think the advent of social media was really eye-opening for me. The ability to connect with people across the country and connect with people that honestly have no intention of ever actually meeting in real life. And having genuine, real relationships with those people is a fascinating thing. And I think so you can share information and build connections and, you know, move and to reach your goals. So We lived in Colorado for a long time, and we had decided that we wanted to move to North Carolina, and that, you know, I'd tried for about a year and a half of just trying to get a job in a traditional way, and it wasn't working. And so, so that was 9 years ago, 10 years ago now. So that's the start of Twitter, the start of Facebook. And so I created a community here in Raleigh, North Carolina on Twitter to be able to move us here and to build my, you know, profile. And, you know, well, we did finally get to move out here. You know, I was like, oh, we just moved last week. It was great. And like, most people thought I'd lived there for a year and a half. They're like, really? Are you sure? Like, weren't you living here like last year? So I think that's an amazing thing that is really new. And that's, for me, is community building, is that ability to find people with your interests. And it's so easy on social media now to connect and build a network of people that are, yeah, for business, for life, for anything. It's really interesting.
And then do you take those same skills that you use to help your clients build the community that they need around their work?
Certainly. Yeah. Yeah. And I think as an agency, it's hard because it needs to be that authentic community building. We definitely try our best to do that for audiences, but that is something that is actually a really hard thing for an external person to do. You know, I think we've done pretty well, but it's not as authentic as I ever want it to be. So that's something that is, we can give them the tools and the skills, but it definitely takes somebody inside to do it perfectly.
In order to be really the true voice of that nonprofit.
Yeah. And to like really build those lasting relationships. We found that it's really hard for us to do it externally, which is interesting.
Right. It's hard to do that on behalf of rather than them doing it for themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Which is, yeah, it's an interesting thing.
And then
maybe I'm just being too honest with people, but.
Well, you're being authentic. So that, but not everybody likes that. You know, they prefer the polished, perfect thing in their mind rather than the true, rough, kind of crazy thing that happens. But when you're working with, do you have any tips for the nonprofit on how to do that? If they want to do it themselves, how to begin reaching out to a community to just even let them know they exist?
Yeah. I think it's, you know, it's on social in particular, it's watching hashtags. It's finding, watching hashtags, figuring out what your audience is. So if it is, if it's cat lovers, there's a lot of cat lovers on the internet. So, you know, it's about watching hashtags. And then something I do is once I find somebody who's deep in that community is I just like and follow all the people that they're following. Because if they've already vetted those people and they're actually having them in your in their feed, then those people are valuable within the community. So that's something that's easy to do on Twitter or on Instagram, is to just follow all the people that your kind of influencers are following, and then watching hashtags and creating clever content and contributing things that are useful to that community and they think are, you know, clever or interesting or fun or informative or sad. You know, it's things that, yeah, that cause emotion. And that's the best, that's a great way to work your way into a community.
And then how do you choose which channel to go down? Like, is it something that you have to dabble a little bit in four different channels, or is it better just to go deep in one that you think is the primary channel?
Yeah, I would say I recommend that folks pick two. So, you know, it's Facebook and Instagram, or if you're very politically leaning, Twitter and Facebook probably. And then it's also age bracketing. You know, if you're going after young folks, then you have to be on Instagram. We're looking at millennial research right now, and Instagram's where they're at. You know, it's so I think it's also kind of looking at your audience and picking that. But I would say two, because then, you know, at least you're building communities in two places, just in case one fizzles out, that you have an opportunity to pick up someplace else.
Now, if there's a nonprofit out there that would like to get a hold of you, what is the pain that they're having where it's a good idea for them to contact you and have a conversation?
Ooh. I'd say that we do best when they have the idea, but they don't know how to complete it, how to get it to the finish line. I think that, that they need to know in general the direction they're going, but that they just need that extra boost, that extra strategy, that extra design to get it to the finish line. I think that, that's what we're really good at, is figuring out how to complete projects really well in ways that are highly effective.
But is a symptom that their fundraising is plateaued, or they're having a hard time getting volunteers, or a new nonprofit is taking some of their market share?
I don't know. I think what's fascinating about the nonprofit sector is that usually the need for our kind of projects are from a large amount of funding, whether they, got a grant to do something, or that it's actually usually from a need of having the budget to do it, which is fascinating. That they've already convinced somebody else that they need to do this, and now they need somebody to do it.
So if they just had a big kind of windfall, it might be a good idea to contact you to find the best way to leverage that.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. And how to invest that into communications and
And the
capacity building.
And the website is bcdcideas.com.
That's it. Yep. Boy cat, dog cat. ideas.com.
All right. Dawn Crawford, thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you. This is great. Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Thought Leader Radio.